to Stories of the Master. Welcome, welcome to episode 16 of the Stories of the Master podcast, where we reflect on how we can improve ourselves little by little, day by day, through sharing stories of the perfect exemplar of the Baha'i Faith, Abdul Baha. Today's episode is about protecting others in need and being a source of joy. Think about the last time a member of your family was seriously ill or experienced some injustice towards them. What is our role in this? Should we think that everybody is responsible for themselves and that we're better off minding our own business? Or as Baha'is, do we play a lead role as the hero in another person's life story? Abdul Baha was the master of many things, but as you know from previous episodes, he was also a hero. And in today's episode, we will learn that there is no limit to what the master will do to protect the people he loves. It is the scorching summer of 1868, and we're on our way to the prison city of Akka. Baha'u'llah and his family, including Abdul Baha, were further exiled from their home in Baghdad. They were sent to Constantinople for less than 4 months, to only be moved to Adrianople for another 4.5 years. It was during this time in Adrianople that Baha'u'llah's evil half-brother, Mirza Yahya, stirred up trouble with the government by making accusations about the Blessed Beauty. Although Baha'u'llah was found innocent, these accusations provoked the government to send both Baha'u'llah and Mirza Yahya into far-flung outposts of their empire to reduce any religious animosity. Mirza Yahya and his followers were sent to Cyprus, and the Holy Family were to be imprisoned in Akka. The master was now 24 years old, and after a 2-day voyage by ship, they arrived at the port of Haifa. The Holy Family remained in prison in Haifa for 1 day, and then it was time to go to Akka. The men, including Baha'u'llah and the master, were put in chains as everyone was dragged onto a small sailboat. It was only a 16-kilometer ride, but because of the rough and choppy conditions in the water and the extreme heat, nearly everyone became seasick. Akka was a prison for the worst criminals of the Turkish Empire and had a deadly climate. There was a well-known saying that if a bird flew over Akka, it would drop out of the sky and die. At the time, there was no landing for boats in Akka, so their sailboat needed to stop in the middle of the water, forcing the prisoners to walk across the sea. When they arrived, a crowd of people were there shouting at Baha'u'llah and his family. Due to the traditional clothing of that time, it was not possible for the women on board to cross the water safely to Akka. So the governor ordered they be carried on the backs of the men. But Abdul Baha would not allow this. This was not appropriate, nor was it dignified for women to be treated like this. Being a prisoner did not stop the master from being their protector. Abdul Baha ensured that he was one of the first to make it to the land and was somehow able to procure a chair in which, with the help of one of his companions, he, the master of protection, carried the women ashore. Not like undignified members of society, but like queens. The Holy Family were taken to the army barracks in which they would be imprisoned. As they were marched through the streets, the inhabitants of Akka hurled abuse at them, wishing for them to be put in chains and to be thrown into the sea. The conditions of this prison were so bad that nearly everyone became sick. Imagine 70 people jammed into this stuffy, damp, and disgusting barracks. Abdu'l-Bahá's younger sister, Bahir Khanum, who was typically healthy, fainted from exhaustion and couldn't ascend the stairs to their cell. The area was filthy, and they were almost up to their ankles in mud. The prisoners were begging for water, but the soldiers did not allow it. They were trapped, and there was no one there to save them. So where was Abdu'l-Bahá? He was missing. He had been away for a number of hours, and his family were worried for his safety. When the soldiers realized that he had suddenly disappeared, they alerted the governor of Akka, who ordered a group to search for him. After they looked high and low, they found him back at the boat, helping all the other prisoners to safely arrive ashore. He was saving people. When the master arrived back to the barracks, he saw the chaos unfolding. Women and children almost dying of hunger and thirst, his own sister drinking water from the muddy floor, and his father, Baha'u'llah, among the sick. He turned to the soldiers and begged them to allow him to go out for food and water. The soldiers replied, "You cannot put a foot outside of this room. If you do, we will kill you." This young and vibrant Abdu'l-Bahá did not give up. He then asked if a servant guarded by soldiers can go out to get food, and they refused. Among the prisoners were mothers who had babies with no milk and could not stop their children's tears. Even the older children were screaming for food and water and could not sleep or be soothed, and more people began to faint. The master spent the first part of the night walking through the group to ease their suffering. He made a third attempt, appealing to the soldiers not to be so heartless. At about midnight that night, Abdu'l-Bahá succeeded in getting a message to the governor. Finally, a small portion of water and cooked rice was sent. He distributed the water to the children and prioritized their well-being. The next day, the food and water had run out, so Abdu'l-Bahá sent more messages to the governor and requested that they allow a servant to leave the prison, purchase food and come back. The governor writes back, grants his wish, and asks to have a meeting with the master to discuss terms. Look at this! Within 24 hours, he went from getting death threats to now having food delivered and a meeting with the governor. This was the power of the 24-year-old Abdu'l-Bahá. But they were so poor that the food was never enough. Baha'u'llah requested that everyone else got more food than him, and for a period of time, he lived on bread and water. Through this experience, the master managed to avoid getting sick, and because they were refused a doctor, it was Abdu'l-Bahá who washed the patients, fed them, nursed them, and watched over them. He took no rest for himself. But all of this left the master utterly exhausted, and he too became sick and stayed in a dangerous condition for a long time. Through his heroic deeds and persistent love, one of the guards, who at one time were ordered to kill Abdu'l-Bahá if he stepped foot outside the prison, grew quite fond of him. When the guards saw the master in this state, he went to the governor and pleaded that Abbas Effendi, the master himself, might have a physician. This request was granted, and under the care of the doctor, Abdu'l-Bahá recovered. Upon seeing the condition of the Baha'is, this physician had so much sympathy that he became friends with Abdu'l-Bahá. He asked the master if there was something which he could do to be of service to them. Look at this, a doctor wanting to be of service to a group of prisoners. So for almost 2 years, this doctor became Abdu'l-Bahá's messenger. He would take tablets revealed by Baha'u'llah to friends outside of Akka by hiding them in the lining of his hat. These messages reached the friends in Persia, who would travel all the way to Acre just to stand on some prominent point where they could see Behola's window, where he would wave his handkerchief to acknowledge them. The master not only solved everyone's problems, he somehow turned this awful experience into a joyous one. The guards were so intrigued by this singing and laughter that one night he created such an environment that the Baha'is, despite being in the situation, were laughing so loud that Behola himself had to walk in the room asking them to stop, as the guards would think that they've gone crazy to be so happy in the most great prison. But this is who Abdu'l-Bahá was, our light in darkness. Many years later, Bahá'u'lláh was living in the mansion of Bahchi. He was hosting a gathering at the Jinan Gardens. They were all very excited to be there. But when they arrived, the master wasn't there. This made Bahá'u'lláh sad, as he loved being with his son. After a few hours had passed, the master finally arrived, and Bahá'u'lláh remarked, "From morning until now, this garden was not pleasant. But now, with the presence of the master, it has become truly most delightful." Then turning to Abdu'l-Bahá, he said, "You should have come in the morning." The master explained that the governor of Acre requested to meet with him, and he needed to attend to that. Bahá'u'lláh smiles and says to everyone, "The master is our shield. Everyone here lives in the utmost comfort and peace. It is the master who stands up to everyone and prepares the means of comfort for all the friends. May God protect him from the evil of the envious and hostile." Let me leave you with these words from one of the tablets of our shield, Abdu'l-Bahá. "There is no greater satisfaction than being a source of joy to the hearts. I ask God that ye may become like angels of heaven, sources of happiness to souls." Thank you for listening to episode 16. I really hope you enjoyed it and bring joy to the hearts of everyone. Don't forget to subscribe and follow to catch the next episode of Stories of the Master.